The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" He sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a jar of water. Follow him. Wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples then went off, entered the city, and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. While they were eating, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take it, this is my body." Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, and they all drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed for many. Amen, I say to you, I shall not drink again the fruit of the vine, until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Then after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. We're celebrating the solemnity of Corpus Christi. In fact, it is a celebration of the Eucharist, a celebration of the gift of the Eucharist to us, in which Jesus gives to you and me the bread from heaven, the bread of angels. He gives us his entire being, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. In some Catholic churches, folks might hear homilists say that we are maybe celebrating ourselves in this feast, since you and I are incorporated into the body of Christ, or rather more specifically, we're incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. But what we're more specifically celebrating today at Corpus Christi is the body and blood, the total presence of the risen Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. We're also celebrating the gift, the miracle to us of transubstantiation. We Catholics know that when the priest speaks the words of institution over the bread and wine on the altar, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that these natural substances do not change their chemical makeup or appearance, but in fact become the body and blood of the risen Jesus in his fullness. When I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, I think it was right after I received First Communion, or at First Communion, I was given a little book by Bishop Sheen on the Mass. Somewhere in the book, there were many photos which I really liked. Somewhere there was a photo of Bishop Sheen holding up the chalice after the consecration. And I used to wonder why no one had thought of putting a camera right above the altar so that the camera could record what exactly the chalice looks like at that point. The camera could record the change of the chalice into the body and blood of Christ. But in any event, at the age of 8 or 9, whenever this was, I had not quite grasped the Catholic teaching that while the reality, the substance of the bread and wine changes, the appearances, the chemical structure do not change, when the risen and ascended body of Christ becomes present on the altar. In this gift to us, a rite is completed which actually began in Old Testament times. And we heard about that in the first reading from Exodus 24. A rite that was begun in hidden form by Moses on Mount Sinai. And in the first reading, we heard that after the Book of the Covenant with Israel was read, the people agreed to obey it. Then Moses celebrated a sacrifice by the shedding of blood of animals on the altar. The consecrated blood of these animals was then sprinkled on the people as a sign of their union to God because of their adherence to the covenant. But in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, the blood of the rite that we celebrate is not that of a bull or a goat, but of Jesus Christ. And on the cross, Jesus undertakes the ultimate sacrifice and act of atonement. And he does this first by reversing the unloving disobedience of Adam and Eve in his obedience to God, his Father, on the cross, when he embraces punishments for our sins, including suffering and death. In this event, which begins at the Last Supper and is completed on the cross, Jesus accomplishes the work of our redemption, which was the reason that he came to earth on mission from God our Father. In this event, when you and I this morning enter into the Eucharist, this is the event that we are joined to. We make ourselves this morning present at the Last Supper. We make ourselves present at the foot of the cross. And in our liturgy of praise and thanksgiving, we join with all those who are worshiping God in heaven. And that's why we're here. We're reminded that what God truly wants from us are not dead works or animal sacrifices. What he wants is our hearts. What God wants from us is indeed our own flesh and blood, our own lives, consecrated to him, offered to him every day as a living sacrifice. And this is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving in the words of today's song. It's the Eucharist that we enter into at this Mass. Now, the Catholic Church today still holds to the truths of the Eucharist, as was believed by the very first Christians. Here are the words of St. Justin Martyr, and he was martyred for his faith. He was writing around the year 155, and he was doing his best to describe to the Roman emperor of the day, a pagan emperor, what it is that Christians do on Sundays. And I think when you hear the words of Justin, you'll understand that he is obviously describing the Mass. You'll know it's a Mass because we hear that they even take up a collection. Now, this is the words of Justin. "We do not consume the Eucharistic bread and wine as if it were ordinary food and drink, for we have been taught that as Jesus Christ our Savior became a man of flesh and blood by the power of the Word of God, so also the food that our flesh and blood assimilates for its nourishment becomes the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus by the power of his own words contained in the prayer of thanksgiving. On Sunday, we have a common assembly of all our members, whether they live in the city or in the outlying districts. The recollections of the apostles or the writings of the prophets are read, as long as there is time. When the reader has finished, the president of the assembly speaks to us. He urges everyone to imitate the examples of virtue we have heard about in the readings. Then we all stand up and together we pray. On the conclusion of our prayer, bread and wine and water are brought forward. The president offers prayers and gives thanks to the best of his ability, and the people give assent by saying, Amen. The Eucharist is distributed. Everyone present communicates, and the deacons take it to those who are absent. The wealthy, if they wish, may make a contribution, and they themselves decide the amount. The collection is placed in the custody of the president, who uses it to help the orphans and widows and all who, for any reason, are in distress, whether because they are sick, in prison, or away from home. In a word, he takes care of all who are in need. We hold our common assembly on Sunday because it is the first day of the week, the day on which God put darkness and chaos to flight and created the world. and because on that same day our Savior Jesus Christ rose from the dead. For he was crucified on Friday, and on Sunday he appeared to his apostles and disciples and taught them the things that we have passed on to you for your consideration. This Sunday, we are also celebrating the opening of our St. Joseph Guardian of the Redeemer Adoration Chapel, in which there is an opportunity to worship the Lord Jesus in the Eucharist outside of Mass. And this is what the Catechism says about that. The Church and the world have a great need for Eucharistic worship. Jesus awaits us in this sacrament of love. Let us not refuse the time to go to meet him in adoration, in contemplation full of faith, and open to making amends for the serious offenses and crimes of the world. Let our adoration never cease. And at both parishes, we're having Eucharistic processions, Corpus Christi processions, with the Eucharist in a monstrance, the King of Kings, sacramentally and visibly present to us in his world, here in East Dubuque, as proof of his love that he will be with us until the end of time, and that he wishes to share himself with us as often as possible. Pope Benedict has written that in the Corpus Christi procession, face linked with the earth, with the whole of reality, is represented in bodily form by our act of walking, our treading the ground, our treading our ground. And that, of course, will be after the 10 o'clock Mass. I think it'll probably begin about 11:15.